Welcome to church, everybody online. It's good to have you with us. The vast majority of you who are still staying put in your homes and watching online, we're so glad that you are joining us, and we miss you. Wish we could put our arms around you and hug your neck and tell you it's good to have you in church today. Those of you who did come out to be with us today, man, so great to have you in the house. So praise God, good to have you here, and everybody else that is a normal part of our online congregation, it's always great to have you with us as we do every week. I want to thank the online congregation, because even before COVID and all of the, you know, increase in online presence that we've had, you guys have been faithful to be with us, and so we're so grateful for you and so thankful for you, and it surprises me how many of us, how many of you watch us regularly from different spots outside of Florida. And so, man, all of you folks watching in the Philippines, everybody watching in Oklahoma and Kentucky, man, so great to have you. Everybody that's watching in California, man, thank you so much for being with us. We love you, and we appreciate you all so much. All right. We started a impromptu series. It wasn't planned. There's no slick marketing. There's no slides that we, you know, usually we make artwork and all kinds of cool stuff for, and we just didn't plan this, but the Lord kind of just dropped it on us. We started talking about us doing a series on love that was not a foreplanned series, but, you know, when you try, I mean, the Lord spoke to me when we were watching a friend of mine online. He was just talking about how tired his church was of hearing about politics and current events and everything that's going on, and he just said, you know, we need to get back, just get back to the Word. If we're going to do anything in church, you know, they're already hearing a million opinions about what's going on, so let's just get back to the Word, because that's what restores people and gives people rest.
Right. Amen.
And so that's what we're doing, and so, you know, when I started thinking about going back to the Word, I started thinking to myself, what is the most spiritual thing for a Christian? What is it? And that's really kind of where this came from, because a lot of people will put the most spiritual label on something that is not the most spiritual thing. They'll tell you it is. And there's a lot of folks that will act like it is. I've actually had many disagreements with people because I don't hallelujah enough. They'll say, yeah, but you don't allow, you're afraid to let the Holy Ghost move. And I'm like, yeah, but I tip my waitress really well, and you don't tip anything. I pay my bills on time. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just went there. What am I talking about? We're talking about walking in love, because Paul actually said the greatest of these is love. So that's why we decided to start talking about this. If we're going to get people back into the Word, come on now. I can shilohama and jerk and run and shout just with the best of them. I can do it, you know. I can have a healing line every service if I wanted to. But you know what? If my love walk is not up to par, all that is, the Bible says, loud brass and tinkling cymbal. And I believe, honestly, this is what is wrong with the Pentecostal church, because we put the emphasis on the moving of the Spirit and very little emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, and if you don't have them both working together simultaneously, they actually offend people and bother people. And we can go and excuse and say, well, they're just not deep enough to get that. No, we just aren't walking in love. How can you say that? I was raised Pentecostal. I know, I've been around those folks from the time I was born. You know, so I've been around them. I've been around the ones who genuinely walk in love and have the fruit, come on, leveled up with the moving of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, what comes out of those ministries is amazing. I've also seen people that will go all the way overboard. You know, you're not having a good service unless you're shouting and running. But then you go out in the community and treat everybody like garbage. I've watched those people shove their shopping carts. Just let them go flying across the, come on, just let them go flying across the parking lot and hit somebody else's car. But by then, they're in the car and driving away, and, you know, it's not my problem anymore. Well, you were just shouting and crying at the altar a minute ago. Come on now. You just, you know, I mean, you just took off running in church. And so I honestly believe, and you know what? Brother Hagin used to say it, the same thing. You know, his last sermon that he ever preached on this earth was about people's love walk. Now, this is a man who flowed in the gifts of the Spirit mightily and heavily, probably more than anybody else I know. I mean, open visions of Jesus in front of congregations of thousands. Very accurate in prophecies. Very spiritual things. And even he would say, discount all that if my love walk doesn't. So, listen, you can quote the Bible. You can speak to your mountain. You can have the faith that moves mountains. You can give all your money away. You can do all these things. Paul said, if you don't have love, it's nothing. Loud brass tinkling cymbal. I believe we talked about what that means in one of the earlier messages. You can go back and relive all those. You know, if you're gonna shout, jump, run, manifest the gifts of the Spirit, then you ought to be, come on, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit on a greater measure. Yeah. All right. So that's why we're talking about this. That's why the title of this series is called "The Most Spiritual Thing You Can Do." And so last week we started talking about love is not envious or proud. We kind of said that those are the two sides of the same coin. Envy will surface in one of two ways. It gets offended by the success of others, or it starts believing that they're deserving of what the success they have. We talked about that. Then we said it's not rude and selfish. It doesn't mean that. Love does not mean that you have arrived and are finished, but the word rude means to show that you're unfinished. Yeah. We're all unfinished. Yeah. We're not going to be finished until we all get to heaven. Right. And so we listen, everybody is got room that they're working in. But if you've been in the walk with God for an extended period of time and you still are dealing with foundational things and you're still showing off how unfinished you are, you're not walking in love. All right? So that's what we talked about last week. This week we're going to continue on talking about this. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is, you know, like we're at a wedding. This is about the only time you hear this in church anymore is when you go to weddings. People read this scripture at weddings, and it's almost like they believe that by reading this scripture at a wedding, it's like pronouncing some kind of blessing over their. And so, but you know, really, when you get down to it, it's really something that you need to be putting into practice every day. Let me just say something real quick before we get into this. I want to say this. Tonight at Rhema in Tulsa, camp meeting starts. I would just encourage those of you who are watching online, if you can, go on onto the website there. It's rhema.org or rhema.tv, excuse me. You can also probably see it on the Facebook page. But camp meeting starts tonight. It's going to be online every service, three services a day. It starts tonight, but then it's Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock. I think it's 11 o'clock for us. 11 o'clock. I don't know, afternoon, 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock, I think, at night. And they've got a slew of speakers that are going to be there, and they're actually meeting in the building. They're not just doing just virtual, but there's thousands of people that are going to be watching online, so I'd encourage you to get on. And I just want to say how proud I am to be affiliated with them. You know, I know this week was a tough week for Pastor Hagin. He got drug over the coals over some stupid stuff, and I don't know if anybody else saw that there was a lot of people posting good things. You know, I stand with Pastor Hagin. It was dumb. It wasn't even worth really talking about what it was. But it was, you know, it's hard. You get criticized by people, it's hard. And so I just want to tell, you know, just say it publicly. I stand with Pastor Hagin. I've been there when nobody else is around, and I've been there with just you know, me and him and his wife and Jody and I, and we know the heart of the person, and I just want to say how proud I am of him and proud of my affiliation with him, and I would encourage all of you to watch camp meeting this week. All right? All right, let's get into this now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. We're going to read it from the King James first. It says, "Love is not provoked and thinks no evil." Now that's a little bit okay, but let's read it out of the Amplified. It says, love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude. That's what we talked about last week. Does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights and on its own ways, for it is not self-seeking. Is that right? Is it supposed to be verse 6? Maybe it's verse 6 then. Sorry. Try and find verse 6, Jode. All right. Love, God's not... love in us is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's where we are this week. Verse 6. That's my bad. Y'all know I'm not a good typist. I have Lincoln log fingers. So, verse 6. All right. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. So the next thing we're going to talk about, if you're going to walk in love, these are the you know, definitions that we need to be walking in. So what is it this week? Love does not take account or keep tabs on, if we're going to talk about it this way, when somebody does something wrong to them. Love does not take account of a suffered wrong. Love doesn't keep score. Oh, come on, Pastor. I'm sure everybody here is like, well, whatever. Everybody watch on, whatever. I am never going to forget what they did to me, and they will always pay for that. Always. As long as I'm around, they will pay for it. Now, of course, our flesh would love to hear something different. If you really love somebody, go ahead and remind them every time you see them what they did to you. If somebody hurts you, you just go ahead and remember how it feels. Keep that all bottled up inside of you. Keep it just there, right on the forefront, so as soon as they walk in the door, you're just offended by their very presence. You can then, now this is where we justify it. Well, I'm just going to keep it there so that I'm protected because I never want it to happen again. And we justify protecting ourselves by holding an offense against somebody. Now, let me ask you this question. If you're doing all the protecting of yourself, where's God doing it? And I'm going to ask you this question on top of that. Are there scriptures in the Bible that promise us protection? What do we need those for if we're doing all the protecting ourselves? Come on now, somebody. If I am doing everything I can to keep so-and-so at arm's length so that they can't hurt me no more, and I'm in charge of whether they hurt me, what do you need the 91st Psalm for? Why was it put in the Bible? Why are there scriptures that say he will encamp his angels around him? What is that there for? Well, you know, I mean, that's a nice sentiment and all, and that's just great thoughts to think towards someone. But you know what? When it really gets down to life here on earth, I mean, I really need some real help here. So I just found out that it's just better if I do it myself. It would be so much easier on our flesh to just act that way. No matter what they've done, I'm just going to keep it there. I'm going to live with that there, and I'm going to build this wall between me and them, and they will never. The word provoked that we read in the King James actually means to be irritated or incensed to anger, to allow someone else, listen to this, to allow someone else to drive your anger for you. What does that mean? When it comes to getting mad, you're not in the driver's seat anymore. They're in the driver's seat with their foot all the way on the floor and their hands off the wheel. And just wherever they want it to go is where it goes. That's what the word provoked means. Love, listen to this now. This is what Matthew Henry has to say about it. Love makes allowances for the faults of others and is ready to put on them, listen to me, a charitable construction. Meaning, when people have provoked me, I am ready to put back on them something that will build them, build them up. But why? Because I'm doing the most spiritual thing possible. Well, it would be much better for me to just go sit in my car, cry, and ask God for help. That is easier, isn't it? It would be so much easier. But listen, if I am supposed to love somebody, and I'm not, and so let's just look at it again. Love is not provoked. Meaning, if somebody wants to make me angry, and I don't know if anybody else noticed it when I walked in today, but I have a Hulk mask. You know, we went to Disney yesterday. I'm just going to tell you, if you want to go to Disney, right now is the time to do it. My God, it was awesome. There was hardly anybody there. It was awesome. And that's a Saturday. We walked around. I bet we didn't get 50 feet within anybody. Stood in line for 5 minutes. It was awesome. You do have to have a mask, though. So I put on, we bought masks there, the Disney mask. And so, you know, I got to make you my shirt, but I'm not going to put on, like, Preston came in today with Stitch, Lilo and Stitch, you know, the Stitch. They have Goofy and so, and I was like, I'm not going to be that, you know. There's got to be something more macho. And yes, there it was, the Incredible Hulk. I was like, yeah, that's it. I'll take it. Here's the thing, and this is what made me, this is where we're, now you're going to say, what does that have to do with? If people want to make me angry, and believe me, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Come on, anybody? Hulk? No? Nobody? Okay. All right. That was a long way to go for that. But anyway, if people want to go and make me angry, or if that's you, if they want to make you angry, sure, the natural response is to tell them exactly what you think of them and their actions. Okay? Love is ready in spite of them provoking you, or listen to me, driving your anger. Love is ready to do something to build them up. I love how Matthew Henry says that, a charitable construction. It's so beautiful and yet so painful. Dang it. What is it? What's another way we could say that? Love is ready to love them out of what they're doing to you. What? I'm all for tough love, but now all of a sudden I'm ready for it. To love them so far that you're willing to go away from devising evil against them, you're ready to not excuse the evil, but to overlook the evil which another inflicts upon you. Then he says this, it doesn't meditate upon the evil inflicted on you, and in doubtful cases will take the more charitable view. Who do you think you are, Matthew Henry? Why would you say that? The thing about it is once you get provoked, how many days does it take you before you stop thinking about it? Now, I'm not just talking about remembering that it happened. I mean, of course, we all have to deal with the memory of things. I'm talking about where you stop devising ways to get even. Because that's really what's happening. We're trying to figure out a way to make ourselves feel better about what happened. And a lot of times we have to start thinking, okay, well, let's take it a step. It may never come to an action from you. There's a lot of people that get mad and never do anything about it. But what do? We will reduce that person in our thinking and in our mind to get them down to a place where we can manage them. Well, yeah, they may be this, but, you know, it's really, you know, they may be wealthy, but, you know, it's all shady. They may be, you know, successful, but, you know, they cheated everybody behind their back. Come on now. We're doing everything we can to give ourselves a better feeling. In this verse, this is the first real thermometer that you can monitor immediately of whether or not your love is up to par. This is how we can tell if we're walking in love and by how much. Are you touchy? Are you fretful? Are you resentful? Are you always noticing what people do wrong to you? Are you keeping tabs? Can you furnish a list of 7 reasons why you can't trust somebody? Now you go, yeah, that's all human nature. Exactly. It is exactly human nature. But those same people that will call it human nature will also turn around and say, yes, but I'm a good Christian. Well, you can't be living human nature, come on, and be a good Christian. Why? Because a good Christian means that you are Christ-like, come on, not human-like. I am preaching to myself as much as anybody. So don't everybody sit there and look at me and go, you just think you got it all together. No! I do not have it all together. These are the things, though, that I say to myself to challenge myself. And come on, and I realize the road ahead of me. And I have to go, I must walk this road, even though I don't want to walk this road. But at the same time, I can look back and go, you know what? I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not satisfied with staying with where I'm at. All right? Now, there's an old saying that we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge others by their actions. Now, here's the thing. As long as we take account of the evil done to us, as long as we're keeping score, all right, we are not walking in love towards others. Now, the words take account means to fully realize or to be fully aware. All right? As long as we're doing that, as long as we're keeping ourselves fully aware of what somebody's done to us, we aren't walking in love. We judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge others by our actions. We know that when we do something, whether we meant to do that, you know, do it that way or not, we automatically believe that when somebody else rubs us the wrong way, that they did it on purpose. Now, we'll say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't even think about that. It was just something I... And as soon as somebody else does it to you, though, you're like, I know why you did that. I know you did it because you have a problem with me. They need to get over it. So the question I have for you is, are you over it? Now, some of you have seen me do this illustration before, but it bears real good right here. Jerry, come up here and sit down. Now, some of you have probably seen this more than once, but this is how it works. A lot of times, if we have a disagreement, and let's just say Jerry does something I don't agree with, do you understand, listen to me now, when this happens, we're no different than anybody that's ever walked the face of the earth, including Jesus himself. He does something I don't like. Do you know there were things that Jesus did that people didn't like? Do you know that there were things that people did that Jesus didn't like? How about when he called those people broods of vipers and you're of your father the devil and come on. Whipped people with chains and flipped over chair, you know, the tables. You think he liked that? Oh, I love what you're doing. I'm flipping this over in celebration. Oh, I'm going to beat you with this whip because, wow, this is so much fun. Let's keep doing it. No. He didn't agree. So what was it? There was anger between, come on, him and them. Them and him. Now, here's what we're talking about. Anger happens. Jesus even says this. He says what? Anger and sin not. Okay, so it's okay to be upset. Okay to have a disagreement. All right? But now, at this point, I have to make a decision. Am I going to allow Jerry to get in the driver's seat and drive my anger? Or am I going to take control of it? Now, here's what happens with us. Most of the time when the disagreement happens, we have what is known as the first of the three R's, resentment. Resentment happens. You did this, I said to do it this way, they don't agree, we are now in disagreement, resentment. The next thing that happens, though, is when you are being provoked to allow somebody else to drive it. The next R is called resistance. Put your hands out in front of you. Hold them up like this. All right. Now, let's flip the role. I've done something that makes Jerry mad. So now Jerry is resisting me. Now I want you to resist. Okay. Do you trust me?
Yeah.
I mean, just outside of the experiment. Okay. All right. So he's resisting me. So when I come in, who's in control right now, Jerry or me? I walk into the room, who's in control? Me.
Yeah.
Jerry's not in the driver's seat anymore, is he?
Not right now.
So I can throw him on back there and hurt him further, or I can let him down easy. Now, here's the thing. Most of the time, people don't even know why you're resisting. Because the disagreement was like, it was unknowingly or whatever. But see, we judge everybody by their actions, not by their intentions. We don't give people the benefit of the doubt that they didn't know what they were doing. So we put up the wall and we resist. You could be at work, not even in the same room with them, and somebody can mention somebody else who has the same first name. He could work with somebody in accounting at Advent Health whose name is Brent. And every time somebody says Brent, Jerry is... Because I'm driving the anger.
Wow.
Don't resist now. Just relax your arms. Who's got control now? Jerry's got control. No matter what I'm doing, I can't hurt him unless I'm like really going to try and dislocate his shoulders. But he's not resisting me anymore. He's in control.
Yeah.
This is what walking in love does. It takes us out of the resistance mode that everybody else lives in. Watch the news right now. You vote for Trump, you're the problem. You vote for Biden, you're the problem. You don't believe in this, you're the problem. You don't believe. What are we doing? Drawing lines in the sand. Watch this. And we're separating by resistance. we're allowing ourselves, come on, to be provoked. We're allowing somebody else to drive our anger. And I'm just going to say it, Christians, am I on this camera? Listen to me. If you're a believer, you're not being spiritual when you act like that. Yeah, but they believe in abortion. If you separate yourself from them over that, you're not being spiritual. Yeah. But they're all racist. Listen to me. If you separate yourself from that, you're not being spiritual. We as believers should never be allowing somebody else to drive our anger. At that stage, we should stop resisting. Whoa, watch it now. And start doing something to, come on, build them up. We should be doing charitable construction. Come on them. Jerry and I, we're just not on the same page. So? He's in control. He's doing something to build me. He may show up with a box of donuts and sit them on my desk and just say, have a great day. Now you go, why would you do that? Because he is charitably, come on, he's being spiritual. Now I'm not going to limit it to just, listen to me, if you say, pastor says in order to be spiritual, I got to buy my enemy a donut. That is not what I'm saying, and you have short-sighted what I'm saying. I'm saying he's doing something to charitably, come on, build me up. You can go back. Now listen, I think I said last week I was talking about, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, Bill Johnson at Bethel Church out there in Reading. You heard me talk about this? There is a newspaper guy who lives to embarrass everything that they do there. He's constantly writing articles to bash on Bethel. Every week, bashing. This is wrong. This is fake. This is fruity. This is weird. This is shady. It's like the guy lives every week. What is he doing? He is, come on, separating himself. Now, at that stage, this is where I really had a lot of respect for Bill Johnson when I found out about this. Bill Johnson could say, I'm going to resist that guy, not going to speak to him, not going to talk to him. We're going to go on a war against the paper. Come on now. We could, have all of our church members write letters and bash and all this stuff. Here's what Bill Johnson does. Every Tuesday, he sends the guy some kind of gift. Flowers, free lunch, meal cards, gift cards, all of that. You know why? It keeps Bill from getting into the second R of resistance. And now Bill is still in control. And you can say whatever you want to say about me. I am going to build you up charitably. Oh, Pastor Brent, that's so not what I want to hear. It's not what anybody wants to hear. Nobody wants to live this way. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to have that kind of experience because our flesh is gratified by our feelings. But our heart and our spirit isn't gratified by feelings. Our heart and our spirit is gratified by our faithfulness to follow what God's teaching us to do. And when we do it, it begins to affect, come on, the outside. The stress begins to melt away. The bitterness begins to melt away. Your health begins to rebound. Come on, somebody. Your marriage gets better. Your job gets better. Everything begins to progress. Why? Because I am not provoked. I am not allowing somebody else to drive my anger. Come on. I am going to follow what God says, and I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to build them up charitably. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you for our time together today. We give you praise and glory. We thank you that, Lord, in the face of hard, Lord God, you are helping us. Lord, and when there are things that want to happen, when our flesh wants to jump up and respond, Lord God, the grace comes upon us. Lord, your strength helps us in our weakness. And Lord, we admit it, we're weak. We're weak in these areas. But Lord, that's not where we want to stay. We want to get strong. We want to be proficient. We want to be Jedi masters with the love walk. So Lord, help us. Help us to not be driven by anger. Help us to not be driven by the actions of somebody else. But Lord, we're driven by your Spirit. And we're showing your love to the world. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name. Now, heads bowed and eyes closed. Listen, if you're here today or you're watching online, this is impossible. This kind of love is impossible to have living in your life without Jesus Christ. The Lord of heaven and earth has to be Lord of your life. The reason is because this love gets placed there when you come into a relationship with Him. It gets planted there and it begins to grow and blossom there. So if you're hearing me today and you say, there's no way that could ever happen, I ask you this question. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever had a relationship with Him? Have you ever been introduced to Him? Because if you have, this love is living on the inside of you. Now it's up to you to develop it, give it a culture to live in, and then start releasing it. And the more you release it, the stronger it becomes, the bigger it becomes, the more abundant it becomes. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Him, then yeah, this way of living is impossible. Because you're just born of the flesh, you're living after the flesh. You're going to do everything this guy wants to do. So if that's you today, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to say these words with me, and I want you to mean them from your heart. This is not like some magic words like abracadabra. These are things that you have to tell the Lord. And mean it and believe it and receive Him into your life. Say these words with me. Say, Father God, I come before you today a sinner. But I believe that Jesus is your Son. And I believe that you raised Him from the dead. And I believe that He is Lord of all. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer with me today, you have now been born again and placed on the inside of you has now been this kind of love. Now, there is a really good chance that you don't feel any different than you did when you started this prayer. There is a really good chance that you are probably thinking the same thing. And the reason I say a really good chance is because I can't speak to everybody's salvation experience. I know some people that have really had a very supernatural, spectacular experience. But I know most people have a supernatural, ordinary experience. Where their flesh still feels the same, their thoughts still think the same. And here's the thing. This is now the beginning of the journey where the change begins to happen. And here's the great thing. You're not responsible to make every change. You're responsible to follow Jesus. That means you read His Word. That means you talk to Him, spend time with Him. He's the one that brings about the change in your life. So if you're wanting this kind of love, read the Bible, pray, spend time in His presence, and watch Him begin to lead you, guide you, and cause change to come out of you. I promise this is the beginning of huge change for you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.